Your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter number 2. And understanding this is your midweek service, you're the faithful, the core of the church. But in our Christian journey, whether we've been saved a few years or many years, there comes times in our lives when we just desire to know God better. And we ask ourselves, whether audibly, whether through something we read or through conversation, how can I know God like He desires to be known? And a while back, as I was reading through the Proverbs once again, the Lord just took this passage and challenged my own heart in a way that I hope will encourage you in this desire to know God better. I'm going to read the first 8 verses and we'll jump right into the message tonight. The Bible says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints." If you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, you know the first 7 chapters or so are put within the context or the motif of a father talking to his child or talking to his son. And here this is right in the middle of that. And what's interesting, though, is it's not a passage, this section is not a passage filled with commands. Son, do this. Son, do that. Make sure you do this. It's not in an imperative kind of a mode. It really is rather set in a general appeal to seek God and His wisdom. You know, really, if you read the Bible with an eye to see it, you find that all through the Bible, we're encouraged to seek after God. You can write the references down. I'll share a few with you. Psalm 5 verse 8 says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before me." Lead me. Show me where you want me to go. He's seeking God. Psalm 25 verses 4 and 12. "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." Psalm 27:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Psalm 86:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name." So all through the scriptures, God is encouraging, admonishing, challenging you and me as his children to know him better. So what is the Father saying to the Son in this text, and what is our Heavenly Father saying to you and me tonight about seeking after God? Well, first of all, he says that there has to be reception. Reception. You have to receive God's truth so that you can grow in your knowledge of God. And you find that right away in verse number 1 when he says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." Now the word "if" gives the element of choice. In other words, you don't have to do this. You don't have to receive God's word. But there are consequences. You know, within every choice you make, God gave us a free will. Within every choice you make, the consequences are already built in. You don't get to choose the consequences, but you don't have to make the right choice. Now, you'll pay the price, but you don't have to. So God said, "If you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." You know, I often tell our students at college, today's preparation will determine tomorrow's sphere of influence. So work hard today. You don't know what God wants you to do in the future. You don't know where God wants you to be. You know, I jokingly told this story last night. I surrendered to the Lord at age 14. I was privileged to grow up in a Christian home, got saved at age 5 at a youth camp, age 14. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want, but I'm glad you don't want me to be a preacher. Now, somehow God didn't hear the but part and what followed that. He just heard, I'll do whatever you want. And it was a long journey to get me there. But I chuckle today at what God has me doing, and I had no clue I'd be a principal of a school, I'd be a president of a Bible college, as well as a pastor of a church. But the journey God brought me on took me through degree programs that I didn't know this was a destination. So God took me through a pathway of preparation. Well, friend, the same thing is true in your life. As you seek the Lord in His Word, God is preparing you for influence and effectiveness and witness and the ability to be the strengthening portion of this body of believers. But you see, the emphasis is on how receptive is our heart. You know, if the soil's not prepared, the seed will not germinate and sprout up with life. And so our hearts have to be prepared to receive God's word. So what it's speaking of is not our ability to receive, it's speaking of our attitude to receive. When you come to church, have you asked the Lord, Lord, you know my needs, you know what's going on in my life. Will you speak to my heart tonight? Will you give me some instruction? Will you help me in this area where I struggle? Prepare your heart. You see, we can learn whatever we really want to learn. You know, if you decided you wanted to learn something and you had the giftedness by God, the mental acuity given to you by God, and you were willing to put in the time and you were willing to sacrifice whatever you needed to sacrifice, you could learn it. The same thing's true about the Word of God. We believed the devil's lie that says, well, I'll never understand. Folks, that would be akin to me writing a love letter to my wife or to one of my children in such a way that they would never understand it. What's the point of that? God gave us His Word by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through holy men of old so that we could understand and know Him. Now, it takes work. But study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It does take work, but if you want to know, if you want to receive it, you can. Notice it has nothing to do with our feelings, and it has everything to do with the authority of God's word and our attitude toward it. Just to real quickly, look over one page, Proverbs chapter 4. Verse number 20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Turn over again for me one more page, chapter 7 of Proverbs. Verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. So if you want to grow in your knowledge of God, you want to grow in your not only knowing about God, but knowing God personally, you have to have a heart that is ready to receive God's truth. And you receive His words and hide His commandments with thee. Secondly, if you want to know God on a personal level, not only do you need to receive God's word, you need to apply God's word. Apply it. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 2, so that, there's the purpose. Why receive? Why hide? so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So we are to receive it and hide it for the purpose so that we can apply it. This father, in the context of Proverbs 2, did not want his children just to hear, he wanted them to heed. He didn't want them to just know, he wanted them to do. You see, the point of receiving God's truth is personal application. And some of the problems we're having today in preaching is some are very educated and they're presenting these theological treatises without saying, and this is how it affects your daily life. They need to give Velcro so you carry it out with you and it sticks to you and you think about it Monday at work and Tuesday when you go home and when you're dealing with your children and when you're making priority decisions in your life. You see, God wants us to not only know what the Bible says, but be able to apply it to how we and what we live. This word incline, very interesting word. It means to tune yourself to. For example, a mother, there can be 20 kids in the nursery crying, but a mother hears her child's voice. Or a musician. All my kids are musicians. My son teaches music in a Christian school and leads church music. And my daughter's a flute performance graduate. My daughter that's still at home, a violin performance, and she teaches violin. My wife plays the piano. And they'll be somewhere and they'll hear an instrument play and they say it wasn't tuned correctly to the piano. It was a little sharp. It was a little flat. And it's a little ingratiating. And I say, sound good to me. You know? But when it comes to music, they say, Dad, just be quiet and preach, okay? So that's my qualification. But a musician can hear it. Why? Because instruments are tuned to that which is always true. A piano tuner tunes the piano to a standard. And then when the piano accompanies an instrument, the instrument is tuned to the piano. What's the application? We are not to be evaluating God's word to determine what we like and what we don't like and what's true and what's not true. No, we are to be tuning our heart and our life to God's word because it is always true. Let God be true and every man a liar. I preached a few weeks ago from 1 Peter where it talks about Christ not only being our living stone but being our cornerstone, and was reminded again in that study the cornerstone not only brings two walls together but the cornerstone is that which the wall is always to be lined up with. You and I are not to be comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. In fact, the Apostle Paul said we're not wise in doing so. But we are always to be tuning ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ because He is true and we are the ones who get out of tune. He never is. So not only are we to receive God's word, but we are to apply God's word. And this is an active and determined effort to line up. It's, you know, I like this, I don't like that. No, the Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. You see, a willing heart creates an obedient life. Lord, change me. Now, you know what? Obedience is rarely glamorous. Obedience is never easy. I've been saved for 56 years almost, and I still struggle with obeying the Lord in some areas. If you don't, you're lying, but that's okay. I mean, the truth is, we all have sinful hearts, and we need to be willing and obedient. So if I were to ask you to write down on a piece of paper what the Lord has been challenging you, what area where the Lord has been challenging and changing you, what would you say? Now, you don't need to tell me. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. What I'm saying is this. It's not just hearing God's word, it's living God's word. It's receptivity, receiving it, to apply it. Verse number 2 says we're to apply our heart to understanding. And with a heart in the Bible being the core of our personality, the core of our character, we're to be, as James says, doers of the word and not hearers only. So we're to receive, we are to apply. Number 3, we're to desire. Desire. Notice what it says, verse number 3. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Ears to hear, minds to apply, hearts to resonate, desire. To cry after knowledge. That's the idea of putting forth a great effort. If I were to say, what is your greatest desire in life? What would you say it is? You know, some people, they've wanted to finish a degree program and work and vocation, different things disrupted it. So they're working at that, or they want to accomplish something, or they want to learn a skill. What is your great desire? Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, talked about those who hungered and thirsted after righteousness. He said, when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled or you'll be satisfied. Crying after knowledge. You know, I'm not a person who gets real hungry. But these college guys, it doesn't take long, and they think they're going to die. I mean, you know, if we're not eating on a every 2-hour basis, they're just wilting away. They're always hungry. You know, when you get really hungry or really thirsty, then, man, are you really satisfied when that need is met, aren't you? You say, what a wonderful meal. The Bible says, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And so we are to hunger and thirst to know God, to be dedicated in that pursuit of God and His wisdom. Isaiah 26, verse 8 says, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Do you have a desire to know God better? I mean, are there times when you just say, Lord, I just want to know you? I told you a moment ago, I've been saved 56 years, been privileged to be in the ministry 37 years this August, and it ought to be continually a desire in my life to never get complacent, to never become self-satisfied, but always desiring to grow in my walk with the Lord. You know, we want God's blessing on our lives. We want God's goodness to shine in our lives. But do we long for God Himself? You know, sometimes people feel like they're only liked for what people can get from them. I've met some businessmen who were pretty successful, and they're believers. And I had one of them say to me not long ago, say, you know, Pastor Wall, it's hard to know who your real friends are because people like to be your friends for what you can do, not for who you are. I wonder if God in heaven would be sought after as much if He didn't do all that He does for us. Now, thankfully, every good gift and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's goodness is amazing, but we need to remember that we're to be seeking to know God. So we are to be receptive. We are to apply. We are to desire to know Him. And lastly, we're to have a great dedication. Verse number 4. He took that idea of crying after knowledge, lifting up your voice a step further, seeking her as silver and searching for her as for hid treasure. Have you ever lost something that was important to you and didn't find it for a while? I mean, you put forth all kinds of effort to find it. Do you put forth that kind of effort to know the Lord better? A.W. Tozer said, "There are no shortcuts exist for a deeper spiritual life. The man or woman that would know God must give time to that effort." Matthew chapter 7, Jesus taught on prayer. Asking, seeking, knocking. If you ask, you receive. You seek, you find. You knock, it shall be opened unto you. Since a kid, you know, like many kids, have been fascinated with this idea of sunken treasure. Treasure maps. I dug up our backyard one time and got a heap of trouble because I got convinced that there was some treasure out there. But you know, as you read about it, those that really go after that, the treasure hunters of this day, I mean, it is amazing the efforts and expenses they go to. I just did some research. In 2011, there was a Tampa, Florida-based marine exploration company that had spent 10 years and $20 million to find a sunken ship that was bearing great treasure. It was a British steamship that was carrying silver from India to Great Britain to fund the war effort in World War II when it was sunken by a German torpedo boat. And it was in a location just off the English coast, but it was 3 miles deep in water. They found it. They had to develop equipment. It took them over a year to send this equipment down and to bring up 2,800 bars of silver, valued at $77 million. But because it was British treasure, when they gave this to the British government, they were reimbursed for all of their exploration costs and were given 80% of the value of the treasure. They made out quite well on that deal. But it was 10 years and great disappointments and discouragements and struggles and defeats, and yet they were dedicated to that treasure. And we will sometimes say, well, you know, I don't understand it. Oh, well, we close the Bible. I don't know God like I should know God, like I feel like I ought to know God. Oh, well, I'll let my pastor tell me about God. No, friend, if you're a child of God, it ought to be your desire personally to know God in a greater way. And you seek for Him, and you search for Him, and it's your lifelong pursuit. Psalm 19, verse 10 says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." Psalm 119:72, "The law is of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." You see, the reason we're not diligent is we just are not convinced of its value. If I could convince you that before you arrived tonight, the guys and I buried $10,000 on the property here, and whoever finds it gets to keep it, I promise you, come back after dark, there'd be a whole lot of people out here with shovels. I'd be one of them. Because we know the value of $10,000, right? Let me tell you, God has given the greatest treasure in the world by which we can know Him through His Word. We need to be that dedicated. So notice what our text says as we conclude tonight. It says, "If we'll receive," verse 1. And if we'll cry after knowledge, verse 3. And if we'll seek her as silver and search for her as for gold, verse number 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If then. If you'll receive, if you'll apply, if you'll desire, if you'll dedicate yourself, then you will know the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. God wants to be known. And He says, you can know me if you really want to. This is not a message to scold anybody. This is a message to say, friend, if you're a child of God, God wants you to know Him. He's available. He will give you the wisdom you need. He'll reveal Himself to you through His Word. And He'll guide your steps so that your life is a life that brings glory to Him and great joy to you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I don't know about you, but nothing really that was said tonight was new. You knew all that. Your pastor faithfully preaches the Word of God, teaches you God's truth. But life intervenes. And life gets busy. And I just wanted to take a few moments tonight to encourage you to look at your priorities and see where God fits in. Is God a priority? Knowing Him, seeking Him, loving Him, serving Him. And if not, make the adjustments. We all have to make adjustments. Make the adjustment. Lord, I've let my prayer time go. I've not been in the Word like I ought to be. I've been surface or casual. And I need to dig and mine as for great treasure. In a moment after I pray, we're just going to take a few moments. The instrumentalist will play a verse or two of a song there at your seat, or you can come to this altar and recommit yourself to the Lord, or talk to the Lord what He's challenged you about tonight as far as knowing God personally. Father, thank You for this wonderful church and their kindness to allow us to come and to give of their time and allow the young men to sing. And Lord, I pray as we've spent time in Your Word that You've challenged us and that we would not just want to be hearers, but that we'd be doers of the work. We would take the next step, not just being receptive, but applying and then seeking after You with all our heart. Now, Lord, I don't know the heart condition of any person here. There could be someone here who needs to be saved. If so, I pray that they would seek out the pastor, one of the faithful people here, and let them open the Word of God as a friend and show them how they can know Jesus Christ, the greatest decision they could ever make. But for the believers, Lord, I pray that You challenge us, that we would understand the importance of knowing God. So work in these next few moments, I pray. For it's in Your name we ask it. Amen. Let's stand together, please, as the instrumentalist plays, God speaking to your heart. How are you doing in seeking after God? God speaking to your heart. Talk to the Lord about it.